Amen. Praise God. Aren't you glad He saw what we could be and not what we were?
Amen.
He saw what we will be. Desired the things of the world. And I was chasing after those things as much as I could. But everything I found still left me thirsty. Well, when I met the Lord, He quenched that thirst in my soul. And He gave me so much more than what I was looking for. I mean, I was looking to escape hell. Amen. I was looking to escape hell when I got saved.
Sure.
You say, well, I wasn't looking for that. Well, good for you. I was. I was looking for satisfaction. And he gave me that. But there's so much more he gave me I didn't even realize I needed. And the more I walk with the Lord, the more I find out what he did for me when he saved me. It's a lot more than just taking you to heaven. Change your life and give you a new nature. Give you peace that passeth understanding. Like we talked about last night, available to us through Christ Jesus. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for Jesus Christ. Thankful for his salvation. Well, we're going to be in the Gospel of Matthew. I told my wife today, I said, well, I'm going to be preaching out of Philippians chapter 5. She said, well, I'm praying for you. It's going to take a lot of prayer to preach out of Philippians 5. Amen. So, she'll read back over it and say, how did I miss that? But appreciate my wife, the girls. They're having a wonderful ladies' conference. They had up there in New Brunswick, Canada, they had 99 ladies at the conference this weekend. And I said, well, you should leave them all and go find the one. Amen? So, and some of you got that, some of you didn't. Okay, well, that was my attempt at a joke. But they had 99 ladies at the conference, and they're really having a good time. And thank you for praying for them, and appreciate your graciousness towards us to, not kick me out as soon as the family's gone. And so most people, they schedule the family, and they get me with a package deal. Amen. But we've had a good time. The boys and I have had a good time. Appreciate the Lehmans today. Brother Lehman followed me over to Stockton Springs. I moved the bus over there today. And how many of you pulled up tonight and you saw the bus gone and thought I was gone? Anybody? Okay, yeah, we got one. We got one willing to admit. But we just moved it over to Stockton Springs. We're going home for 3 weeks. And then we come back, and our first meeting back is at Cornerstone Bible Baptist Church in Stockton Springs, about 45-minute drive from here. And we'll be there the week of whatever the week is. I think it's July 11th through 15th or something like that, 10th through the 15th. And so pray for the meeting there. Come out and be a part of it if you're able. And we'd appreciate that. But we got that moved over today. Brother Lehman followed me all the way over there. But first we stopped and had breakfast at Lori's. And that was a blessing. Amen. And then went over there. And then he took us out to the house. We spent the afternoon up on top of the mountain. And I don't think I told you this, brother, but I took a picture out of the window, the top window. I was up in the perch. Anybody else been up in the perch? Wow, it's an exclusive club. Okay. So I was up there and I took a picture. I meant to take a picture of the house to show the kids where I was taking the picture from. So if you have a picture of that, send it to me. And I was up there studying, and it's hard to study in a recliner. Do you know that?
Yeah.
But I did get some studying in. And then I watched that storm come in. And from up there, I could see the mountains there in the distance. You watch those clouds come in and just cover up all those mountains. It was amazing. I'd look at and watch. And and they fed us supper. I appreciate that. And my boys still don't have tact. And they said, you like spaghetti? And Isaac said, no. My Isaac. I said, well, that's my boy. But he did eat it. He said, I like it with a little bit of sauce. I like a little bit of sauce. And I said, well, put all the rest of his sauce on mine. Amen. And but we appreciate that. Had a good time in fellowship. And appreciate all you've done. Appreciate your friendship down through the years and your fellowship in the gospel. I love this church. I mentioned it last night. I really mean it. This church has a special place in our hearts. And a lot of these kids, when we first started coming, some of them weren't even around yet. And some of them were small, real little. I got some notes last night from some of the kids in the church, little note. One wrote it to Brother Friend. Amen. I like getting notes to Brother Friend and Mr. Thren. And Landon, he painted me a picture. I mean, it wasn't just on paper either. It's like a canvas thing. You know, like you pick up at the store a blank canvas and then you paint on it. Well, that's what he did. And I got, and it's an apple tree. An apple tree. And there's a pond beside the apple tree. And it was making sense as he was explaining it to me. And the tree was red. And that's why it was an apple tree. And then there's this red path going through. And I said, man, I hope that's apple juice. Amen. But it was good. And somebody, one of the girls gave me a little note. A few of the girls wrote little notes and about the message. And one of them slipped a little $5 bill in there. And she said, use this to keep preaching the word. However, I think it says, I've got it here. I'm going to pull it up on my phone because I want to read it. I took a picture of it and sent it to my family. And so I want you to, I want to get it right. I don't want to get it wrong. I want to get it right. And so let's see if I can find it here. Here it is. Use this for what you need to preach the word. That's a blessing. That is a blessing. So thank you. I'm not going to call your name out, but I know who it was. And so you know who I'm talking to. That was a blessing. And there were some other notes I got, just words of encouragement. One had a picture, and I haven't talked to the girl about it yet, but it's a picture of somebody and lying in their deathbed, looked like. And there's two people standing there, and one says, she's dead. And the other one says, she's going to heaven. Or no, she's saved. And then there's a picture of heaven. I guess it was heaven. Nice picture up in the clouds of gold and all that stuff. And praise God, we have a hope beyond this life. And you say, well, you know, that's, you know what? And I hear people talk about, we shouldn't have kids in the church service. They should be out there doing their own thing. Hey, kids are learning by being in the church services. Amen. And they're picking up more than we give them credit for. And so, appreciate that. What a blessing. Well, we're in Matthew 13. The Lord laid this passage on my heart. It's really just one verse. And I don't have a long message, and that's why I gave a long precursor. And so, Matthew 13, and I want us to focus in. We know that the context of this passage is the kingdom of heaven. And most of this, really, all of this directly pertains to the nation of Israel. And yet we understand that even though there are parts of the Bible that are not written directly to us, they are still profitable for us. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And so it's profitable for doctrine, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto good works. And so even the parts in here that aren't written directly to the church, there are principles and truths that can help us, okay? And that's what we're going to look at tonight for just a few minutes. Matthew 13, verse number 44. This is what the scripture says. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. I want to read that verse again. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. I want to look at tonight the treasure and the field. The treasure and the field. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for your grace upon us. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done in our hearts this week. It has been unusual. It has been different. Certainly different than last year. But Lord, I believe that it's been needed. I know I've benefited from what you've done in our hearts this week. And Lord, I pray that many others have as well. Father, as we approach this last message of this meeting, Lord, I pray that you would help us, dear God, to just give you our full attention. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us through this parable, this story, this simile that's given to us, Lord, to illustrate a truth. And Father, I pray that we would see the truth of this passage, that we would understand it, that we would apply it to our lives. Lord, I pray that you would continue to work here at Second Baptist Church. Lord, I pray for unity. I pray for the power of God. I pray for souls to be saved. I pray for families to be strengthened. I pray for a generation of young people to be raised who will stand fast in the Lord, who will stand for the old paths and ask for the old paths and live lives that are pleasing to you. I pray that there would be the foundation of many godly generations raised up in this place. Father, we believe your coming is nigh, but yet we believe also that we are to continue to invest in the next generation, continue to live out the principles and doctrines of your word so that we might shine as lights in a dark world. Father, I pray that you would help us tonight. Help us to appreciate what you put in our lives. Help us to appreciate the treasure. Help us to appreciate the field. Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In this passage, the Lord is dealing primarily with the nation of Israel, as he is this entire chapter, and the end times. And I believe that it would be good for us to at least address the direct reference. I believe that this treasure in this field is the nation of Israel, and that he has found and he has hidden them, he's protected them, and he has kept them safe from harm and annihilation. And then he has purchased the entire field to get the treasure. And we know that Christ died for the sins of the whole world. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And but especially the elect, he has gave his life for the nation of Israel. And I'm thankful that we're included. Even though we're outside of the covenant, we're outside of the promises, we're outside of all that special relationship that God had with the nation of Israel, yet he included us when he paid for Israel, he paid for the world. And I'm thankful for that. So when you look at this verse, we can understand what I believe to be the doctrinal aspect of this verse. But then there's also a practical application whenever you look in the Word of God. And if you'll allow me tonight, I want us to think about our lives in connection to this verse. Now the Bible says it's a short story, it's a very direct story, and a very simple story, and so I have a very simple message tonight. But there's the treasure. The two main points of this story, the treasure and the field, and of course the one who purchased them. And as you look at treasure in the Word of God, what you find almost every time is that treasure is always hidden. Matter of fact, even today, when we think of treasure stories, most of the time we're thinking of something that's been hidden, that's been stowed away somewhere or buried in the ground, and everybody's on a treasure hunt. You need a map and you need this and that in order to find it. You need the right people and all of this. And when you look in the Word of God, and when you look at this word treasure, it's almost all the time a hidden thing. As a matter of fact, go with me to Genesis chapter 43. Turn back there with me and we'll look at the first mention of the word treasure in the Bible. We have what we call the law of first mention. And what that simply means is that the first time you find a specific word or phrase in the Bible, It generally sets the theme and the understanding of that word throughout the rest of the Bible. And so in Genesis 43, the story that we find this word treasure in is the story of Joseph and his brothers. You remember the story? Joseph was the favored son. The other brothers hated him because of that. And they sold him into slavery. They lied about him to his father and said that he was killed. He must have been killed by a wild beast. They sold him into slavery. Joseph, we understand, he goes from the pit that his brothers had thrown him in to Potiphar's house. He's lied about there in Potiphar's house by Potiphar's wife. And so he goes from Potiphar's house to the prison. But all through this time, the Bible tells us that the Lord was with him. Amen? And that is always the difference maker. He is always the difference maker. No matter where you are, if the Lord's with you, you're on the winning side. Amen? And so he goes from the pit to Potiphar's house, to the prison, and then to the palace. God exalts Joseph. Joseph is the second in command in the nation of Egypt. And God uses Joseph to save Egypt from the famine. And not just Egypt, but the entire world. The known world in that time. God uses Joseph. And what a picture of Jesus that Joseph is. Amen? And so this is the story that we find the word treasure in. It's in chapter 43, and it's in verse 23. And in verse 23, it says this, "And he said, peace be to you, fear not, your God and the God of your father have given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money, and he brought Simeon out unto them." And without going too deeply into the story, if you remember the story, his brethren have come to Egypt for food, and Joseph is using this as a way to test his brethren and a way to restore their relationship. And so they come and they buy food, and each man has his sack, and they get their sack full of food, and they head back. But what Joseph had done is he had hid their money in their sacks. There was treasure inside those sacks, but they had no knowledge of it, even though they were bearing that treasure. Why? Because that treasure was hidden. And when something is hidden, that means it's not visible, easily visible. It's not known. It's something that is away from our consciousness and our awareness. And there are times in life when there is a treasure really right before our eyes and we don't even see it. Many times there's treasure all around us. There's treasure in our children. There's treasure in our mate. There's treasure in our church. There's treasure in our lives and we're not aware of it because we're really not paying too close attention. These brethren, if they had opened up the sacks and looked through what they had, they would have found their money. Is that right? They would have found the treasure. But their attention was on something else. Their focus was on something else. I'm sure they were all about the business of getting their animals loaded and their carts loaded and heading home. We got to get home, we got to talk to Dad, we got to give him a report, and all of these things, but they did not realize the treasure that they had with them because their focus was elsewhere. And so it kind of sets a precedent for us throughout the Word of God when you see this word treasure. Many times you'll find that it's hidden treasure. But when we think about this, and I want you to go back to Matthew 13, when we think about this treasure, there's really only two thoughts I want to bring to your attention tonight. The first one is that every field has a treasure. Every field has a treasure. Now, when this man, whoever this man was, and we know, of course, that when we apply it doctrinally, the man is Christ. But this, in this story, he says the kingdom of heaven is likened unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. We understand, and even to this day, they're still discovering that there are rich minerals everywhere over this earth. And there's value in every piece of land. As a matter of fact, there's not much that retains value in the world like land does. You buy a car, it's going to depreciate. Because after a while, it's going to become worthless. After a while, it's going to become more of a burden than a blessing. Right? But land holds its value. There's something valuable about the land. And there, in our story here, there was treasure in this field. We don't know how long this treasure had been there. We don't know how many people had passed through that field. But the intent here, it seems, is that this treasure had been in this field. It had been hidden sometime before. And who knows who hid it. But it had gone undetected for a period of time until another man comes along and he discovers this treasure. You know, when we talk about treasure in the field, and what I want us to think about tonight is that the treasure could be right in front of us and us not see it. But there is treasure to be found if we will search, if we will look. I think about people in the Bible that had treasure in front of them and they apparently did not see the treasure. I think about Nabal. Remember Nabal? Nabal was a churlish man. He was a fool. He had a treasure right in front of him, and he didn't even realize it. What treasure did he have? His wife, Abigail. Now, you know what? We have a daughter, Sarah Abigail, our oldest daughter, Sarah Abigail. We don't have anybody else in our home or in our family. Back as far as I know, and Rachel back as far as she knows, named Abigail. But it's a fairly common name. We didn't name Sarah Abigail after a family member. We named her after the Abigail in the Bible. You know why? Abigail was a wise woman. She was a God-fearing woman. She was a treasure. And Nabal was such a blind fool that he could not even see the treasure right in his own home. How many times, listen, if we're not careful, we'll get looking everywhere else. But I've seen it happen so many, too many times. Everybody looking at this one and at that one. Well, I wish my wife was like her. I wish my husband was like him. I wish this, I wish that. And they overlook the treasure in their own home. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. Listen, what a treasure it is. If you've got a wife or a husband that loves God and loves you, you have a treasure. If you got one that'll put up with you, you have a treasure. Amen.
Amen.
Don't overlook the treasure in your own home. You know, the prodigal didn't realize what a treasure he had in his dad. What a treasure. That prodigal son, listen, you talk about unthankful. And the Bible says that in the last days, one of the great grievous sins of the last day is unthankfulness. He listed all there with all those terrible sins. Unthankfulness is a terrible sin.
And
here's an ingrate, if there ever was one. The prodigal son. He can't even wait for his dad to die. Listen, when he went and he said, I want what's coming to me, and he took what his inheritance was, and he left home. You know what he was saying? In reality, I wish you were dead, Dad. I wish you were dead. Because all I want is what you have. What a fool. When we see how much his dad loved him, how willing he was to forgive him. And when that boy finally came to the end of himself and he realized, man, I'm here. I'm in a pig pen, because once he ran out of stuff, once he ran out of money, he ran out of friends. He ran out of people that cared, because they didn't care all along. But there was a dad back home that loved him, and a dad back home that was still waiting for him to come home. I always love this when I think about it. That boy never made it all the way back to the house by himself. He didn't have to knock on the door. Why? Because the father was looking for him. He ran to him. He saw him coming, and the father ran to him. I'm sure the father was not a spring chicken. Right? He wasn't young. Maybe he wasn't spry, but it didn't matter on that day, because his boy was coming home. He ran to him. What a treasure this young man had. Didn't even realize it. Listen, you young people, all the young people in here, I think, your parents come to this church or take you to church. They love the Lord. You ought to be thankful you've got a dad and mom that love you enough to tell you the truth. Amen. You got a treasure. Now, you know what? Kids don't understand when they're real small, because they think everybody's dad and mom's like this. But you know what you learn? As you get older, not everybody has parents like you've got. Now, you didn't just get these parents. Listen, you young people, put your pens down right now. Look up here. You didn't get good parents because you're a good person. You didn't earn a good mom and a good dad. You were blessed with a good mom and a good dad. That is, that's a gift. You didn't do anything to earn. God just gave that to you. You know what you need to do? You need to be what? Be thankful. Be thankful. And don't overlook the treasure that you have. You've got a wonderful treasure. If you got a dad and mom that love you enough to teach you the truth. If you got a dad and mom who will forgive you when you do wrong. You've got a treasure. Don't overlook that. See, the problem is we want to look at all the problems in everybody else's life. And we forget to look for the treasure. The prodigal didn't see the treasure he had in his dad. Achan did not see the treasure of his nation, of his congregation. That's what they call in the Old Testament, you know. The nation of Israel, they called it the congregation. He did not see the treasure that he had in that congregation, and he allowed sin into his life, which, and we all the time think about how Achan lost his life and his family lost their lives and they lost everything that they had, and that's a terrible thing. But do you remember that there were 36 other men who lost their lives because of Achan's sin? Let's not forget about them. Let's not forget about the 36 widows and 36 families that all of a sudden didn't have a dad at home. Because one man sinned, he did not see the treasure of the congregation, and he lusted after the things of the world. You know, we talk about Achan all the time, about how he gave up everything for a Babylonish garment and a wedge of gold, right? And some silver. Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that what it was? And we think, man, why would he give up everything he had and sacrifice everything he had for some gold and silver and clothing? Guess what? That's getting replayed over and over and over and over again.
Amen.
People give up their families for a lot less. People give up their own soul for a lot less. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Some will just give pennies. They'll take pennies for their soul. It's foolish. You're not understanding the treasure of your life. You know what your life is? It is a gift from God. It's a gift from God. It's a treasure. People say, oh, my life is terrible. Your life is better than hell. Amen. People say, you hear people say, my life is hell. No, it's not, friend. It's a long way north of that.
Yeah.
Don't overlook the treasure that God's given you. This man, when he found the treasure, he hid it. Why'd he do that? Well, it's not a trick question. Why did he hide the treasure? You kids. Why did he hide the treasure? Why? So nobody else would find it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What was he doing? He was protecting that treasure. Listen, I'm going to talk to you kids again. You ready?
Yeah.
You know why mom and dad sometimes hide you from things, keep you from things? They're protecting you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why are they protecting you? You know why? So you won't get hurt. You know why? Because you're a treasure. You're a treasure. That's why they protect you. You know what you do? If you got valuables at home, and most of us, we don't have a whole lot of valuables. But if you got some, you know what you do with them? You hide them. You put them under lock and key.
Key.
You put them somewhere somebody's not going to think to look. Right? Is that right?
Yeah.
Why? Because they're valuable. It's a treasure. You don't want to lose that. And listen, you know what the Lord's going to do with Israel during the tribulation? He's going to hide them out in the rocks. Why? Because they're precious to Him and He doesn't want them destroyed. My mom and dad, they're just keeping me from all these things. And I want to experience this and I want to experience that. Well, mom and dad, understand that those experiences could be your destruction.
Oh.
Trying to protect you. Why? Because you're a treasure. There's value to you. Now think about Dinah. Dinah was not protected. And it ruined her life. Listen, it ruined her life. You know, in that story, and I'm not going to get too deep into that story for sake of time, but you know, in that story, it says that the man who took advantage of her loved her. Did you know it said that? But the brothers said, and rightfully so, that wasn't love, that was defilement. See, what the world calls love is actually defilement.
Amen.
Well, you don't understand, Dad. He said he loved me. Well, in his own way, he does. But it's not love. It's not true love. It's defilement. Got to protect the treasure.
Mm-hmm.
So every field has a treasure. Now here's the second thing I want you to think about. Every treasure has a field. So what does that mean? It means this. This man, when he went and he bought this field, did he want the field or did he want the treasure? He wanted the treasure, right?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously the field itself seemed worthless, or someone else would have bought it. But it's still available because everybody, when they looked by, they walked by, all they saw was the field. So they didn't buy it. Is that right?
Yeah.
But the man buys the field because he knows the treasure is in the field. What if he just allowed the field to dictate to him whether it was worth it or not? What if he didn't see the treasure? If he didn't see the treasure, he never would have bought the field. Here's our problem. We are so focused on the field, we miss the treasure, and then even if we find the treasure, many times we feel like it's not worth the field. I want us to understand that as valuable as treasure is, you have to take the field with it.
Yes, sir.
Well, I just want to take the good parts and leave all the bad parts out.
Yes, sir.
There are two things in this world that this world has seen, that it's all good parts and no bad parts. You know what it is? Jesus and the Bible. That's it. That's it. So that means if you want a wife, or you want a husband, or you want children, or you want to go to a church, or you want to have a job, or you want to drive a car, if you want to live in a house, guess what? There's a field that comes with the treasure.
Yes, sir.
I just don't like this. I don't like that. I wish he wouldn't do this. I wish he wouldn't do that. You know what you're doing? You're focusing on the field. And you're forgetting why you got in this deal to begin with. But it's easy to do, isn't it? We're forgetful. We look at things and we only see, sometimes, at the beginning, especially of a relationship, we only see the treasure. Right?
Yes, sir.
When you fall in love. And I did that on purpose. What happens? All you see is the treasure, buddy. I mean, she could say something that's totally opposite of what you think, but you don't hear that at all. You're just so enamored with her, you don't see the field. You don't hear the field. And you know, when you first meet that knight in shining armor, wow, he's so dashing, he's so chivalrous, he's just the best thing that's ever happened to me. All you're seeing is the treasure. Guess what? Prince Charming has a field.
Yeah.
Maybe a big one.
Full of briars. And skunk weeds. And all the stuff you don't like, he's going to have them.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
So what do? You just say, well, okay, well, now, you know, I got in it for the treasure, but now here's the field. I'm going to take the treasure and go. No, it doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. You know why? Because this man, when he bought the field, he sold all that he had to get that field. If he quits now, he's got nowhere to go. He's invested, listen, he's invested everything that he has into that field. You want to know how to make it work? At home, in the church, on the job, just give it your all. Do not do anything half-heartedly. Look, whether you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. It's amazing to me, the things we say were God's will, later down the road, we'll blame God for it. And say, well, God, you know, now it's God's will for something else. Well, if it was God's will 20 years ago, God put you in this marriage, God put you in this home, God put you in this church, and nothing has changed except your view of it. Listen, it's still the same field. It's still the same treasure. The only thing that's changed is you. How you're looking at it. Where before you were focused on the treasure, now you're focused on the field.
Yes, sir.
Just be thankful for what God's given you. Pour everything you have into it. And use what God has given you for His glory.
Yes,
now let's go to a couple scriptures and we'll be done. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and 1 Peter chapter 4. You still with me? Say amen.
Amen.
2 Corinthians chapter 4. You'll probably get there before me. I didn't mark them and I got a brand new Bible. So I'm trying to break it in still. Break it in without breaking it. 2 Corinthians 4 and 1 Peter 4. Look at 2 Corinthians 4 first. And we'll begin reading verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, look at this, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts. Can you say amen right there? Remember when you received the light of the gospel in your heart, He shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this what? Treasure where? In earthen vessels. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And so we understand in this passage, Paul's talking about how we've received the gospel, we've received the light of the gospel, we've been made new by the Lord, and yet, though we're a new creature, we're still in the old body. Is that right? You know what he's saying? We've got a treasure. Christ. He's a treasure. And where are we keeping him? In an earthen vessel. Now, if you've ever used a $2 box to hold a $10,000 piece of jewelry, that doesn't even come close to the comparison of these earthen vessels holding Christ. You want to talk about treasure in a field or treasure in a vessel? And you want to talk about how wonderful the treasure is and how bad the field is? Look in the mirror. That we could have Christ? That we could be the ones who would preach the gospel of Christ to the world? You say, well, I just don't want to waste my life on someone who's not worth it. You better rethink what you just said right there. Because there's no way we will ever be worth Jesus. Ever. And as bad as you think someone that you are than someone else, God is so much greater than us. The best of us. He's so much greater than us. We don't deserve to have this treasure. We're not worthy of this treasure. And yet He gave it to us anyway.
Amen.
Want to talk about patience and kindness and long-suffering? You know why we forgive others? Because Christ forgave us. God forgave us through Christ. I've always found that when we understand the depths of God's forgiveness for us, it makes it easy to forgive someone else.
Yeah.
Amen. Listen, the root of unforgiveness, that's not a message on unforgiveness, but it's true. The root of unforgiveness is pride. You don't think that that person deserves forgiveness. But what about you deserving forgiveness from God? We don't deserve forgiveness from God. And so to withhold forgiveness from someone else because they haven't earned it, they're not good enough, that's nothing but pride. Now, look at 1 Peter chapter 4. Every field has a treasure, but every treasure has a field. You're going to have to deal with stuff if you're going to be invested. Well, you know, down there at that church, I just wish they wouldn't do this, and they didn't do this, and I wish the preacher didn't preach so long, or I wish he preached longer, I wish the song service was this or that or the other. Listen, every treasure has a field. There are no perfect churches. There are no perfect pastors. There are no perfect church members. There are no perfect marriages. 1 Peter chapter 4, look what it says here in verse number 8. And above all things. Now let's just stop right there. We're four words in the verse. How important is this verse? We already know it's very important because he says above all things. That's quite a statement in and of itself. What does he have to say? Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. That word fervent means hot. It means warm. It means something that has some life to it. And that word charity is, I think, the easiest definition is love in action. And so, and especially love among brethren. And so, when you look at these two words together, he said, above everything else, above your standards, above your personal pet peeves, above your thoughts, above your opinions, above, listen, above your doctrine. I don't think Brother Thren's a Baptist. I'm a Baptist. I'm a Bible-believing Baptist. But when the Lord says, and because the Lord says, above all things, that means it's above everything else. Have fervent charity among yourselves. Why? For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Now this verse tells us a lot. It tells us, number one, that there could be a multitude of sins among God's people.
Yes, sir.
Now listen, we should not be okay with one sin. Are you listening? We should not give one sin a pass. Especially in our own lives. We're not saying excuse sin. That's not what the Bible says. But it does say cover. Does it not say cover? Now we understand that if there's open, unconfessed sin in someone's life, you are not showing charity to them by covering that.
Right.
Because that sin, although it's harmful to all of us, it's especially harmful to the one who's involved in it.
Yes, sir.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That'd be like a doctor saying, well, you're okay, when they're not okay. That's a bad doctor. Why? Because he doesn't care about people.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying lie or make up excuses or try to cover sin. But listen, each and every one of us, there are multitudes of sins in our past Am I telling it right?
Yeah.
You know what charity does? Covers it. Doesn't expose it. Doesn't air it out. Doesn't try to use it as leverage. Covers it.
Yeah.
Why don't, instead, preach longer than I intended? It seems like I always do that. Why not, instead of covering up the treasure, in our own hearts, in our own minds, why don't we cover the field? Well, listen, he hid the treasure, right? Because he didn't want people seeing it. And in that case, because he didn't want people stealing it. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
But can we make an application here? He did not want those people to see that treasure, so he covered it. The treasure that's in your family, in your church, when you cover the treasure, you're making it so nobody else can see it. And you're bringing everybody's attention to the field instead of the treasure. Am I making sense here? I'm giving the anti-truth of what we read there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
He covered it because he didn't want people to see it. Well, 1 Peter 4 says, why don't you cover the multitude of sins so people don't see those? Why not build up and edify one another and focus on the treasure that we have instead of focusing on the field and all the problems and all the things that we didn't really want when we got into this thing, but they came along with what we wanted? Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
We have a treasure in earthen vessels. And if God would care enough about putting the treasure in us, then He would purchase this field. And He's not ashamed to be called our God. And He loves us and He covers our sins. Then we should do that for one another. Every field has a treasure. Are you finding it? Are you looking for it? It's easy to find faults. Easy. Easy, easy, easy. Anybody can find a fault. But do you care enough to find the treasure? Because every field's got one. We have 11 kids. They're all different. They have different strengths, different weaknesses. You know, if I'm not careful as a parent, because I want them to improve, I'll just focus on their faults the whole time. You're doing this wrong. You're doing that wrong. You're doing this wrong. Why can't you do this like your brother? Why can't you do this like your sister? Well, that's bad, bad, bad.
Yes, sir.
Focusing on the weeds and the briars and the thorns. And listen, they have to be cleared. But you better not miss the treasure that's in that field. And remember, that treasure that you want, there's a field coming with it. About some grace. About some charity. Have fervent charity among yourselves. That means you are each other's best cheerleaders. You are rooting for each other. You're praying for each other. You're focusing on what each other is doing well, and you're encouraging them to keep continuing. You're not sitting over there saying, well, they're doing that wrong, and they're doing that wrong, and they're doing that wrong. Get your eyes off the field. Get it on the treasure. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these simple truths. Lord Jesus preached so many times just common themes, common stories, but such great truths if we'll stop and ponder them. Lord, I want to take this time to thank you for the treasure of Rachel. I thank you, Lord, for the treasure of each of my children, the treasure of Christian friends and brothers and sisters in Christ, the treasure of fellow preachers, preachers' families, faithful members. God, it's been a blessing for me to be able to travel these years and meet so many of the family of God. Lord, I pray that you'd help me. Help me to see the treasure. Lord, there'll come days that the weeds have to be pulled, and situations where the briars are going to have to be unearthed. But Lord, if we're interested in the field, then that too will be a labor of love. Interested in what that field can become. Lord, I sure am grateful that you're patient with me. That you don't give up on me when seemingly there's much more field than treasure. God, thank you for your loving kindness toward us. Thank you for being willing to invest your treasure into these earthen vessels. God, I pray that you would help us to see and invest, promote the treasure in the lives that you bring our way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. That's what you choose to do. It's often said the altars are always open. A specific invitation has been given in that message.